2 Samuel chapter 1. After the death of Saul, when David had returned from defeating the Amalekites, he stayed at Ziklag for 2 days. On the third day, a man arrived from the camp of Saul, with his clothes torn and dirt on his head. When he approached David, the man threw himself to the ground. David asked him, "Where are you coming from?" He replied, "I have escaped from the camp of Israel." David inquired, "How were things going? Tell me." He replied, "The people have fled from the battle, and many of them fell dead. Even Saul and his son Jonathan are dead." David said to the young man who was telling him this, "How do you know that Saul and his son Jonathan are dead?" The young man said, "I just happened to be on Mount Gilboa and came across Saul, leaning on his spear for support. The chariots and leaders of the horsemen were in hot pursuit of him. When he turned around and saw me, he called out to me. I answered, 'Here I am.' He asked me, 'Who are you?' I told him, 'I'm an Amalekite.' He said to me, 'Stand over me and finish me off. I'm very dizzy, even though I'm still alive.' So I stood over him and put him to death, since I knew that he couldn't live in such a condition. Then I took the crown which was on his head and the bracelet which was on his arm. I have brought them here to my lord." David then grabbed his own clothes and tore them, as did all the men who were with him. They lamented and wept and fasted until evening, because Saul, his son Jonathan, the Lord's army, and the house of Israel had fallen by the sword. David said to the young man who told this to him, "Where are you from?" He replied, "I am an Amalekite, the son of a resident foreigner." David replied to him, "How is it that you were not afraid to reach out your hand to destroy the Lord's anointed?" Then David called one of the soldiers and said, "Come here and strike him down." So he struck him down, and he died. David said to him, "Your blood be on your own head. Your own mouth has testified against you, saying, 'I have put the Lord's anointed to death.'" Then David chanted this lament over Saul and his son Jonathan. He gave instructions that the people of Judah should be taught the bow. Indeed, it is written down in the scroll of the upright one: "The beauty of Israel lies slain on your high places. How the mighty have fallen! Don't report it in Gath. Don't spread the news in the streets of Ashkelon, or the daughters of the Philistines will rejoice. The daughters of the uncircumcised will celebrate. O mountains of Gilboa, may there be no dew or rain on you, nor fields of grain offerings. For it was there that the shield of warriors was defiled. The shield of Saul lies neglected without oil. From the blood of the slain, from the fat of warriors, the bow of Jonathan was not turned away. The sword of Saul never returned empty. Saul and Jonathan were greatly loved during their lives, and not even in their deaths were they separated. They were swifter than eagles, stronger than lions. O daughters of Israel, weep over Saul, who clothed you in scarlet as well as jewelry, who put gold jewelry on your clothes. How the warriors have fallen in the midst of battle! Jonathan lies slain on your high places. I grieve over you, my brother Jonathan. You were very dear to me. Your love was more special to me than the love of women. How the warriors have fallen! The weapons of war are destroyed." Second Samuel chapter 2. Afterward, David inquired of the Lord, "Should I go up to one of the cities of Judah?" The Lord told him, "Go up." David asked, "Where should I go?" The Lord replied, "To Hebron." So David went up, along with his two wives, Ahinoam the Jezreelite, and Abigail, formerly the wife of Nabal the Carmelite. David also brought along the men who were with him, each with his family. They settled in the cities of Hebron. The men of Judah came, and there they anointed David as king over the people of Judah. David was told, "The people of Jabesh-Gilead are the ones who buried Saul." So David sent messengers to the people of Jabesh-Gilead and told them, "May you be blessed by the Lord, because you have shown this kindness to your lord Saul by burying him. Now may the Lord show you true kindness. I also will reward you, because you have done this deed. Now be courageous, and prove to be valiant warriors, for your lord Saul is dead. The people of Judah have anointed me as king over them." Now Abner, son of Ner, the general in command of Saul's army, had taken Saul's son, Ish-bosheth, and had brought him to Mahanaim. He appointed him king over Gilead, the Geshurites, Jezreel, Ephraim, Benjamin, and all Israel. Ish-bosheth, son of Saul, was 40 years old when he began to rule over Israel. He ruled 2 years. However, the people of Judah followed David. David was king in Hebron over the people of Judah for 7.5 years. Then Abner, son of Ner, and the servants of Ish-bosheth, son of Saul, went out from Mahanaim to Gibeon. Joab, son of Zeruiah, and the servants of David also went out and confronted them at the pool of Gibeon. One group stationed themselves on one side of the pool, and the other group on the other side of the pool. Abner said to Joab, "Let the soldiers get up and fight before us." Joab said, "So be it." So they got up and crossed over by number, 12 belonging to Benjamin and to Ish-bosheth, son of Saul, and 12 from the servants of David. As they grappled with one another, each one stabbed his opponent with his sword, and they fell dead together. So that place is called the Field of Flints. It is in Gibeon. Now the battle was very severe that day. Abner and the men of Israel were overcome by David's soldiers. The 3 sons of Zeruiah were there, Joab, Abishai, and Asahel. Now Asahel was as quick on his feet as one of the gazelles in the field. Asahel chased Abner, without turning to the right or to the left as he followed Abner. Then Abner turned and asked, "Is that you, Asahel?" He replied, "Yes, it is." Abner said to him, "Turn aside to your right or to your left. Capture one of the soldiers and take his equipment for yourself." But Asahel was not willing to turn aside from following him. So Abner spoke again to Asahel, "Turn aside from following me. I do not want to strike you to the ground. How then could I show my face in the presence of Joab, your brother?" But Asahel refused to turn aside. So Abner struck him in the abdomen with the back end of his spear. The spear came out his back. Asahel collapsed on the spot and died there right before Abner. Everyone who came to the place where Asahel fell dead paused in respect. So Joab and Abishai chased Abner. At sunset, they came to the hill of Ammah near Gaia, on the way to the wilderness of Gibeon. The Benjaminites formed their ranks behind Abner and were like a single army standing at the top of a certain hill. Then Abner called out to Joab, "Must the sword devour forever? Don't you realize that this will turn bitter in the end? When will you tell the people to turn aside from pursuing their brothers?" Joab replied, "As surely as God lives, if you had not said this, it would have been morning before the people would have abandoned pursuit of their brothers." Then Joab blew the ram's horn, and all the people stopped in their tracks. They stopped chasing Israel and ceased fighting. Abner and his men went through the Rift Valley all that night. They crossed the Jordan River and went through the whole region of Bitron and came to Mahanaim. Now Joab returned from chasing Abner and assembled all the people. 19 of David's soldiers were missing, in addition to Asahel. But David's soldiers had slaughtered the Benjaminites and Abner's men. In all, 360 men had died. They took Asahel's body and buried him in his father's tomb at Bethlehem. Joab and his men then traveled all that night and reached Hebron by dawn. Second Samuel chapter 3. However, the war was prolonged between the house of Saul and the house of David. David was becoming steadily stronger, while the house of Saul was becoming increasingly weaker. Now sons were born to David in Hebron. His firstborn was Amnon, born to Ahinoam the Jezreelite. His second son was Kileab, born to Abigail, the widow of Nabal, the Carmelite. His third son was Absalom, the son of Maacah, daughter of King Talmai of Geshur. His fourth son was Adonijah, the son of Haggith. His fifth son was Shephatiah, the son of Abital. His sixth son was Ithream, born to David's wife Eglah. These sons were all born to David in Hebron. As the war continued between the house of Saul and the house of David, Abner was becoming more influential in the house of Saul. Now Saul had a concubine named Rizpah, daughter of Aiya. Ishbosheth said to Abner, "Why did you sleep with my father's concubine?" These words of Ishbosheth really angered Abner, and he said, "Am I the head of a dog that belongs to Judah? This very day I am demonstrating loyalty to the house of Saul, your father, and to his relatives and his friends. I have not betrayed you into the hand of David, yet you have accused me of sinning with this woman today? God will severely judge Abner if I do not do for David exactly what the Lord has promised him, namely, to transfer the kingdom from the house of Saul, and to establish the throne of David over Israel and over Judah, all the way from Dan to Beersheba." Ishbosheth was unable to answer Abner with even a single word, because he was afraid of him. Then Abner sent messengers to David, saying, "To whom does the land belong? Make an agreement with me, and I will do whatever I can to cause all Israel to turn to you." So David said, "Good, I will make an agreement with you. I ask only one thing from you. You will not see my face unless you bring Saul's daughter, Michal, when you come to visit me." David sent messengers to Ishbosheth, son of Saul, with this demand: "Give me my wife Michal, whom I acquired for 100 Philistine foreskins." So Ishbosheth took her from her husband Paltiel, son of Laish. Her husband went along behind her, weeping all the way to Bahurim. Finally Abner said to him, "Go back." So he returned home. Abner advised the elders of Israel, "Previously you were wanting David to be your king. Act now. For the Lord has said to David, 'By the hand of my servant David, I will save my people Israel from the Philistines and from all their enemies.'" Then Abner spoke privately with the Benjaminites. Abner also went to Hebron to inform David privately of all that Israel and the entire house of Benjamin had agreed to. When Abner, accompanied by 20 men, came to David in Hebron, David prepared a banquet for Abner and the men who were with him. Abner said to David, "Let me leave so that I may go and gather all Israel to my lord the king, so that they may make an agreement with you. Then you will rule over all that you desire." So David sent Abner away, and he left in peace. Now David's soldiers and Joab were coming back from a raid, bringing a great deal of plunder with them. Abner was no longer with David in Hebron, for David had sent him away, and he had left in peace. When Joab and all the army that was with him arrived, Joab was told, "Abner, the son of Ner, came to the king. He sent him away, and he left in peace." So Joab went to the king and said, "What have you done? Abner has come to you. Why would you send him away? Now he's gone on his way. You know Abner, the son of Ner. Surely he came here to spy on you, and to determine when you leave and when you return, and to discover everything that you are doing." Then Joab left David and sent messengers after Abner. They brought him back from the well of Sirah, but David was not aware of it. When Abner returned to Hebron, Joab took him aside at the gate, as if to speak privately with him. Joab then stabbed him in the abdomen and killed him, avenging the shed blood of his brother Asahel. When David later heard about this, he said, "I and my kingdom are forever innocent before the Lord of the shed blood of Abner, son of Ner. May his blood whirl over the head of Joab and the entire house of his father. May the males of Joab's house never cease to have someone with a running sore or a skin disease, or one who works at the spindle, or one who falls by the sword, or one who lacks food." So Joab and his brother Abishai killed Abner, because he had killed their brother Asahel in Gibeon during the battle. David instructed Joab and all the people who were with him, "Tear your clothes, put on sackcloth, lament before Abner." Now King David followed behind the funeral pallet. So they buried Abner in Hebron. The king cried loudly over Abner's grave, and all the people wept too. The king chanted the following lament for Abner: "Should Abner have died like a fool? Your hands were not bound, and your feet were not put into irons. You fell the way one falls before criminals." All the people wept over him again. Then all the people came and encouraged David to eat food while it was still day. But David took an oath, saying, God will punish me severely if I taste bread or anything whatsoever before the sun sets. All the people noticed this, and it pleased them. In fact, everything the king did pleased all the people. All the people and all Israel realized on that day that the killing of Abner, son of Ner, was not done at the king's instigation. Then the king said to his servants, Do you not realize that a great leader has fallen this day in Israel? Today I am weak, even though I am anointed as king. These men, the sons of Zeruiah, are too much for me to bear. May the Lord punish appropriately the one who has done this evil thing. Second Samuel chapter 4. When Ishbosheth, the son of Saul, heard that Abner had died in Hebron, he was very disheartened, and all Israel was afraid. Now Saul's son had two women who were in charge of raiding units. One was named Baanah, and the other Rechab. They were the sons of Rimmon the Beerothite, who was a Benjaminite. Beeroth is regarded as belonging to Benjamin, for the Beerothites fled to Gittaim, and have remained there as resident foreigners until the present time. Now Saul's son Jonathan had a son who was crippled in both feet. He was 5 years old when the news about Saul and Jonathan arrived from Jezreel. His nurse picked him up and fled, but in her haste to get away, he fell and was injured. Mephibosheth was his name. Now the sons of Rimmon the Beerothite, Rechab, and Baanah went at the hottest part of the day to the home of Ishbosheth, as he was enjoying his midday rest. They entered the house under the pretense of getting wheat and mortally wounded him in the stomach. Then Rechab and his brother Baanah escaped. They had entered the house while Ishbosheth was resting on his bed in his bedroom. They mortally wounded him and then cut off his head. Taking his head, they traveled on the way of the Rift Valley all that night. They brought the head of Ishbosheth to David in Hebron, saying to the king, Look, the head of Ishbosheth, son of Saul, your enemy, who sought your life. The Lord has granted vengeance to my lord the king this day against Saul and his descendants. David replied to Rechab and his brother Baanah, the sons of Rimmon the Beerothite, As surely as the Lord lives, who has delivered my life from all adversity, when someone told me that Saul was dead, even though he thought he was bringing good news, I seized him and killed him in Ziklag. That was the good news I gave to him. Surely when wicked men have killed an innocent man as he slept in his own house, should I not now require his blood from your hands and remove you from the earth? So David issued orders to the soldiers, and they put them to death. Then they cut off their hands and feet and hung them near the pool in Hebron. But they took the head of Ishbosheth and buried it in the tomb of Abner in Hebron. Second Samuel chapter 5. All the tribes of Israel came to David at Hebron, saying, Look, we are your very flesh and blood. In the past, when Saul was our king, you were the real leader in Israel. The Lord said to you, You will shepherd my people Israel. You will rule over Israel. When all the leaders of Israel came to the king at Hebron, King David made an agreement with them in Hebron before the Lord. They designated David as king over Israel. David was 30 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned for 40 years. In Hebron, he reigned over Judah for 7 years and 6 months, and in Jerusalem, he reigned for 33 years over all Israel and Judah. Then the king and his men advanced to Jerusalem against the Jebusites who lived in the land. The Jebusites said to David, You cannot invade this place. Even the blind and the lame will turn you back, saying, David cannot invade this place. But David captured the fortress of Zion, that is, the city of David. David said on that day, Whoever attacks the Jebusites must approach the lame and the blind, who are David's enemies, by going through the water tunnel. For this reason, it is said, the blind and the lame cannot enter the palace. So David lived in the fortress and called it the city of David. David built all around it, from the terrace inwards. David's power grew steadily, for the Lord God of heaven's armies was with him. King Hiram of Tyre sent messengers to David along with cedar logs, carpenters, and stonemasons. They built a palace for David. David realized that the Lord had established him as king over Israel, and that he had elevated his kingdom for the sake of his people Israel. David married more concubines and wives from Jerusalem after he arrived from Hebron. Even more sons and daughters were born to David. These are the names of children born to him in Jerusalem: Shammua, Shobab, Nathan, Solomon, Ibhar, Elishua, Nephig, Japhia, Elishama, Eliada, and Eliphalat. When the Philistines heard that David had been designated king over Israel, they all went up to search for David. When David heard about it, he went down to the fortress. Now the Philistines had arrived and spread out in the valley of Rephaim. So David asked the Lord, "Should I march up against the Philistines? Will you hand them over to me?" The Lord said to David, "March up, for I will indeed hand the Philistines over to you." So David marched against Baal-perazim and defeated them there. Then he said, "The Lord has burst out my enemies like water bursts out." So he called the name of that place Baal-perazim. The Philistines abandoned their idols there, and David and his men picked them up. The Philistines again came up and spread out in the valley of Rephaim. So David asked the Lord what he should do. This time the Lord said to him, "Don't march straight up. Instead, circle around behind them and come against them opposite the trees. When you hear the sound of marching in the tops of the trees, act decisively, for at that moment the Lord is going before you to strike down the army of the Philistines." David did just as the Lord commanded him, and he struck down the Philistines from Gibeon all the way to Gezer. Second Samuel chapter 6. David again assembled all the best men in Israel, 30,000 in number. David and all the men who were with him traveled to Baalah in Judah to bring up from there the Ark of God, which is called by the name of the Lord of Heaven's armies, who sits enthroned between the cherubim that are on it. They loaded the Ark of God on a new cart and carried it from the house of Abinadab, which was on the hill. Uzzah and Ahio, the sons of Abinadab, were guiding the new cart. They brought it with the Ark of God from the house of Abinadab on the hill. Ahio was walking in front of the Ark, while David and all Israel were energetically celebrating before the Lord, singing and playing various stringed instruments, tambourines, rattles, and cymbals. When they arrived at the threshing floor of Nacon, Uzzah reached out and grabbed hold of the Ark of God because the oxen stumbled. The Lord was so furious with Uzzah, he killed him on the spot for his negligence. He died right there beside the Ark of God. David was angry because the Lord attacked Uzzah, so he called that place Perez Uzzah, which remains its name to this very day. David was afraid of the Lord that day and said, "How will the Ark of the Lord ever come to me?" So David was no longer willing to bring the Ark of the Lord to be with him in the city of David. David left it in the house of Obed-Edom the Gittite. The Ark of the Lord remained in the house of Obed-Edom the Gittite for 3 months. The Lord blessed Obed-Edom and all his family. King David was told, "The Lord has blessed the family of Obed-Edom and everything he owns because of the Ark of God." So David went and joyfully brought the Ark of God from the house of Obed-Edom to the city of David. Those who carried the Ark of the Lord took 6 steps, and then David sacrificed an ox and a fatling calf. Now David, wearing a linen ephod, was dancing with all his strength before the Lord. David and all Israel were bringing up the Ark of the Lord, shouting and blowing trumpets. As the Ark of the Lord entered the city of David, Saul's daughter Michal looked out the window. When she saw King David leaping and dancing before the Lord, she despised him. They brought the Ark of the Lord and put it in its place in the middle of the tent that David had pitched for it. Then David offered burnt sacrifices and peace offerings before the Lord. When David finished offering the burnt sacrifices and peace offerings, he pronounced a blessing over the people in the name of the Lord of Heaven's armies. He then handed out to each member of the entire assembly of Israel, both men and women, a portion of bread, a date cake, and a raisin cake. Then all the people went home. When David went home to pronounce a blessing on his own house, Michal, Saul's daughter, came out to meet him. She said, "How the king of Israel has distinguished himself this day! He has exposed himself today before his servants' slave girls, the way a vulgar fool might do." David replied to Michal, "It was before the Lord. I was celebrating before the Lord, who chose me over your father and his entire family, and appointed me as leader over the Lord's people in Israel. I am willing to shame and humiliate myself even more than this. But with the slave girls whom you mentioned, let me be distinguished." Now Michal, Saul's daughter, had no children to the day of her death. Second Samuel chapter 7. The king settled into his palace, for the Lord gave him relief from all his enemies on all sides. The king said to Nathan the prophet, "Look, I am living in a palace made from cedar, while the ark of God sits in the middle of a tent." Nathan replied to the king, "You should go and do whatever you have in mind, for the Lord is with you." That night, the Lord's message came to Nathan. "Go, tell my servant David, this is what the Lord has said. Do you really intend to build a house for me to live in? I have not lived in a house from the time I brought the Israelites up from Egypt to the present day. Instead, I was traveling with them and living in a tent. Whenever I moved among all the Israelites, I did not say to any of their leaders, whom I appointed to care for my people Israel, 'Why have you not built me a house made from cedar?' So now, say this to my servant David. This is what the Lord of Heaven's armies has said. I took you from the pasture and from your work as a shepherd to make you leader of my people Israel. I was with you wherever you went, and I defeated all your enemies before you. Now I will make you as famous as the great men of the earth. I will establish a place for my people Israel and settle them there. They will live there and not be disturbed any more. Violent men will not oppress them again, as they did in the beginning, and during the time when I appointed judges to lead my people Israel. Instead, I will give you relief from all your enemies. The Lord declares to you that he himself will build a dynastic house for you. When the time comes for you to die, I will raise up your descendant, one of your own sons, to succeed you, and I will establish his kingdom. He will build a house for my name, and I will make his dynasty permanent. I will become his father, and he will become my son. When he sins, I will correct him with the rod of men, and with wounds inflicted by human beings. But my loyal love will not be removed from him, as I removed it from Saul, whom I removed from before you. Your house and your kingdom will stand before me permanently. Your dynasty will be permanent." Nathan told David all these words that were revealed to him. King David went in, sat before the Lord, and said, "Who am I, O sovereign Lord? And what is my family, that you should have brought me to this point? And you didn't stop there, O Lord God. You have also spoken about the future of your servant's family. Is this your usual way of dealing with men, O sovereign Lord? What more can David say to you? You have given your servant special recognition, O sovereign Lord. For the sake of your promise, and according to your purpose, you have done this great thing, in order to reveal it to your servant. Therefore you are great, O sovereign Lord, for there is none like you, there is no God besides you. What we have heard is true. Who is like your people Israel, a unique nation on the earth? Their God went to claim a nation for himself, and to make a name for himself. You did great and awesome acts for your land, before your people whom you delivered for yourself from the Egyptian empire and its gods. You made Israel your very own people for all time. You, O Lord, became their God. So now, O Lord God, make this promise you have made about your servant and his family a permanent reality. Do as you promised, so you may gain lasting fame, as people say, 'The Lord of Heaven's armies is God over Israel.' The dynasty of your servant David will be established before you. For you, O Lord of Heaven's armies, the God of Israel, have told your servant, 'I will build you a dynastic house.' That is why your servant has had the courage to pray this prayer to you. Now, O Sovereign Lord, you are the true God. May your words prove to be true. You have made this good promise to your servant. Now be willing to bless your servant's dynasty, so that it may stand permanently before you. For you, O Sovereign Lord, have spoken. By your blessing, may your servant's dynasty be blessed from now on into the future.
Second Samuel chapter 8. Later, David defeated the Philistines and subdued them. David took Methig, Ammah, from the Philistines. He defeated the Moabites. He made them lie on the ground, and then used a rope to measure them off. He put 2/3 of them to death, and spared the other 1/3. The Moabites became David's subjects, and brought tribute. David defeated King Hadadezer, son of Rehob of Zobah, when he came to reestablish his authority over the Euphrates River. David seized from him 1,700 charioteers and 20,000 infantrymen. David cut the hamstrings of all but 100 of the chariot horses. The Arameans of Damascus came to help King Hadadezer of Zobah, but David killed 22,000 of the Arameans. David placed garrisons in the territory of the Arameans of Damascus. The Arameans became David's subjects and brought tribute. The Lord protected David wherever he campaigned. David took the golden shields that belonged to Hadadezer's servants and brought them to Jerusalem. From Tebah to Berothai, Hadadezer's cities, King David took a great deal of bronze. When King Toi of Hamath heard that David had defeated the entire army of Hadadezer, he sent his son Joram to King David to extend his best wishes and to pronounce a blessing on him for his victory over Hadadezer, for Toi had been at war with Hadadezer. He brought with him various items made of silver, gold, and bronze. King David dedicated these things to the Lord, along with the dedicated silver and gold that he had taken from all the nations that he had subdued, including Edom, Moab, the Ammonites, the Philistines, and Amalek. This also included some of the plunder taken from King Hadadezer, son of Rehob of Zobah. David became famous when he returned from defeating the Edomites in the Valley of Salt. He defeated 18,000 in all. He placed garrisons throughout Edom, and all the Edomites became David's subjects. The Lord protected David wherever he campaigned. David reigned over all Israel. He guaranteed justice for all his people. Joab, son of Zeruiah, was general in command of the army. Jehoshaphat, son of Ahilud, was secretary. Zadok, son of Ahitub, and Ahimelech, son of Abiathar, were priests. Seraiah was scribe. Benaiah, son of Jehoiada, supervised the Kerethites and the Pelethites, and David's sons were priests.
Second Samuel chapter 9. Then David asked, "Is anyone still left from the family of Saul, so that I may extend kindness to him for the sake of Jonathan?" Now there was a servant from Saul's house named Ziba, so he was summoned to David. The king asked him, "Are you Ziba?" He replied, "At your service." The king asked, "Is there not someone left from Saul's family that I may extend God's kindness to him?" Ziba said to the king, "One of Jonathan's sons is left. Both of his feet are crippled." The king asked him, "Where is he?" Ziba told the king, "He is at the house of Machir, son of Amiel, in Lodebar." So King David had him brought from the house of Machir, son of Amiel, in Lodebar. When Mephibosheth, son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, came to David, he bowed low with his face toward the ground. David said, "Mephibosheth?" He replied, "Yes, at your service." David said to him, "Don't be afraid, because I will certainly extend kindness to you for the sake of Jonathan, your father. I will give back to you all the land that belonged to your grandfather Saul, and you will be a regular guest at my table." Then Mephibosheth bowed and said, "Of what importance am I, your servant, that you show regard for a dead dog like me?" Then the king summoned Ziba,
Saul's attendant, and said to him, "Everything that belonged to Saul and to his entire house I hereby give to your master's grandson. You will cultivate the land for him, you and your sons and your servants. You will bring its produce, and it will be food for your master's grandson to eat. But Mephibosheth, your master's grandson, will be a regular guest at my table." Now Ziba had 15 sons and 20 servants. Ziba said to the king, "Your servant will do everything that the Lord, the king, has instructed his servant to do." So Mephibosheth was a regular guest at David's table, just as though he were one of the king's sons. Now Mephibosheth had a young son, whose name was Micah. All the members of Ziba's household were Mephibosheth's servants. Mephibosheth was living in Jerusalem, for he was a regular guest at the king's table, but both his feet were crippled.